Well, super excited. You know, we're going to do things a little different this morning before we dive into the book of Daniel. Super excited about this Sunday in particular. If you notice, if you look around, we've got several folks in their all-in t-shirts, right? Because this Sunday is our reveal Sunday of the gifts that have been pledged and the gifts that have been given to this all-in campaign. Maybe you're new with us here and you're not familiar with this all-in campaign. Over the last several months, the Lord has stirred in the hearts of our pastors and staff at both locations here and at our Sango campus to go all in. And what that encompasses is us, first and foremost, continuing to go all in for Christ, right? To continue to lift His name up so that others would come to know Him one day. What that looks like is us choosing to go all in for children, right? A big demographic here in our community. And so us continuing to reach our children for Christ here, be involved in the schools. Thirdly, that looks like us going all in for the church. And what that looks like in particular is because of, you know, we're getting close to maxing out space at both of our locations, right? That looks like us expanding at both locations, both here and Sango. And we'll talk about that more in a moment. And then fourthly and lastly, looks like us going all in for Clarksville, continuing to be a beacon of hope in this community for Him. And so, man, we're super excited for where the Lord is leading us, and thank you for your investment in that. And so we want to celebrate that. I want to celebrate that this morning. And so I want to celebrate a few numbers, right? First and foremost, I want to highlight the total amount of money that's been pledged to this campaign. First and foremost, man, and it's a great number, record number, you know, at Living Hope in Large. And so this number, it's on the screen here, but you have pledged, right, over $1 million, just over $1 million. And so, man, let's celebrate that. Let's praise the Lord for that this morning. Between both of our locations, man, over $1 million pledged to this campaign. Let me put it in perspective for you. Those of you who've been with us pre-Tylertown, right? Been with us at Living Hope, just our Sango campus during our Hope campaign, right? That essentially was launched so that we could launch Tylertown. The total number that was given altogether in the 3 years was just over $600,000. And so you guys have pledged almost double of that. And so, man, appreciate your generosity and your willingness to step in there. The second number I want to celebrate is this, the number that's actually been given total. On October the 3rd, we had our Pledge Sunday, but also it was an opportunity for you to give your first fruits offering, you know, to this campaign. So we want to celebrate that. Between both locations, you gave just over $366,000. And so, man, why don't we praise God for that? Praise God for that. Hey, more than half of what was given total at the Hope campaign was given right just on that Sunday, and you know, a few other Sundays following. And so, man, we're super excited about that, super excited about where the Lord is taking us. And man, listen, thank you for your investment, right, in choosing to go all in. We want to celebrate a couple of more numbers together, right? We want to celebrate numbers of life change. It's great to look at the financials. Man, we're excited about that. But man, even more importantly, man, we want to celebrate what God's been doing in the life of His church in large between both locations. Since August, whenever we launched this all-in campaign, we have seen 29 folks come for baptism between both of our locations. So man, praise God for that. Praise God for life change. Hey, and here's what's awesome too. Just at Tylertown, right, that 29 number, 12 folks from Tylertown have come for baptism. So, man, we praise the Lord for life change. That's what it's about. That's what it's about, seeing lives change, right, and folks, man, coming forward saying that, man, I belong to Jesus. I want to follow Him. Second number we want to celebrate are number of families that have joined since August, since we started the All In campaign. You see that number there? 23 new families between both of our locations have joined the work of Living Hope in Large. So why don't we praise God for that real quick? Man, praises all around. Hey, and what's cool is half, 11 of those families are Tylertown families. that have joined here. And so, man, we're excited. Some of you guys are in this room that have joined since August. Man, thank you for jumping in and being a part of God's great work here. And then the last number we want to celebrate is in regard to our children's ministry. Man, we know a lot of you have plugged in and have served with our kids, and so we thank you for your investment there and your service there. Since August, we've seen a 17% increase, right, in kids in our kids ministry at both locations. And so, man, praise God for that. That's answering the call. All of us going all in for Him, all in for kids. And so, man, we're thankful for Miss Megan and her ministry, as well as those of you who serve there as well. And so, listen, here's the deal, man. Numbers aren't everything. You know, we talk about numbers. Numbers aren't everything. But numbers, right, represent a name. Hey, numbers represent a family, right, that's being impacted for Him. And so, man, we want to celebrate that. We want to celebrate what all the Lord is doing. Well, before we take up our offer, I'm going to go ahead and have our men come down front. And get ready to prepare to take up our offering. We're going to take up our offering during this time. But before we do that, you know, I want to show another point of celebration. I want to show a little video. Our lead pastor, Derek Smith, who's at our Sango location, shot a video really kind of giving us a tour of our new building. Like I mentioned earlier, we're looking to expand at both locations. And so we got a rendering done for our new building at both locations. The building that you see is going to be at Sango. Just as a reminder, Sango was gifted with $2 million worth of land for free. So you can't tell me God ain't on the move. You know, man, God provided $2 million worth of land there. And so He's going to show the building there. But also, this building is going to be our building here in the near future. Man, we're praying that God will provide land for us. And so we want you to join us in praying there. But I want you to go ahead and take a look at this video, man. And dream with us as Pastor Derek is walking through the contents of this new space. So why don't you turn your attention to the screen together.
Church, it is such an exciting time to be a part of this ministry. The Lord is calling us to go all in. And He's given us $2 million of land to build on. Our pastors and trustees have been working together with Vision Architects, and we've designed an incredible building. I can't wait to share it with you. Come on, let's go check it out together. Let's start outside. I'm excited to introduce to you Hope Park and Hope Field. Hope Park will include an outdoor playground, a full basketball court, a pavilion, and a splash pad. Hope Field will be a massive green space where teams can come and have practices, families can run and play, and where we can host great community events. Hope Park and Hope Field will be emphatic statements to our community that you are welcome here and that this is a place of hope. Now let's walk up to the building. The building's going to be a beautiful structure with modern aesthetic elements. Right outside the main entrance will be a magnificent fountain where we can do outdoor baptisms. The colors will be warm and inviting, and there will be a nice canopy for cars to drop off passengers in the dry when it's raining. It's going to be a very appealing structure. As you enter the building, you'll notice large amounts of movement space and the modern look of the hallways. There'll be many spots for folks to sit and talk and drink coffee and just hang out and get to know one another. And right in the middle of the foyer area is going to be an indoor playground. This indoor playground will be a place where kids can come and play. Families can host birthday parties and other gatherings. Man, it's going to draw people into our doors. It's going to be awesome. Right down the main hallway will be our kids and preschool spaces. These spaces will be fun and exciting with lots of color and kids decor. There will be space to worship, to play games, to study God's Word, and to grow in Christ. Also included in this area will be sensory elements and rooms for special needs kids to thrive and where special needs families can come be loved on. This space is going to be such a blessing. Now let's walk into the doors of our brand new worship space. Inside will be cutting edge sound and multimedia technology. There will be plenty of seating both on the floor and in stadium seats. There will be excellent video production equipment so that we can broadcast this message of hope all around the world. No more setting up and taking down chairs or equipment every week. Man, I can just see thousands of people worshiping, praying and responding to the call of the gospel here every Sunday. Oh, the life change that is going to happen in this place. Church, it's time to go all in. It's time to make a statement that Jesus is Lord, there's hope in Him, and the church is essential. What's it going to take to make this dream a reality? What's it going to take to make this building come to life? It's going to take all of us praying and giving. And so I'm asking you right now to begin praying for an outpouring of God's Spirit on this city and this ministry. And I'm asking you to give financially. You can go to livinghopeclarksville.org and you can give straight from our website and you can gather more information from there as well. What's it going to take to make this dream a reality? It's going to take all of us going all in. So come and join us.
Amen. It's pretty cool, isn't it? Pretty cool as you sat there and watched, man. Can't you just see and God using, you know, that facility, right, to reach people for Him, reach people in the community for Him. Now, we know that buildings alone, right, don't reach people. People do, right? But, man, if we believe that the church is essential, if we believe, man, the church needs to be strong in these days, right, we'll, you know, look to invest, right, to first off see this as an investment, not just as an expense. We'd look to invest in, looking to, man, provide a place of hope for this community. Real quick, let me take you back to 2004. I'd probably been to church. I could probably count on one hand the number of times I'd been to church. Family, good family, but, you know, weren't church people. Got invited by a friend to go to the church in town that was there. And I remember the allure was that on Wednesday nights, Brother Rick, they had free pizza and they had basketball right after. So I said, man, I'm there. And so being able to go to that facility and plug in and being able to bring some of my friends to be a part of that. But, man, God used that. As funny as it was, free pizza and basketball, man, to hook me, if you will. Got a chance to hear the gospel and I ended up getting saved in high school. Man, a neighborhood kid, non-church kid, getting saved as a result of friends inviting to that facility. And listen, hear my heart. I see the very same thing here at Tarleton. I see the very same thing. Hey, I see neighborhood kids from the community here. Man, being able to find help by coming to our Hope Field, coming and playing ball in our facility, coming and engaging in our kids' ministry. I see it. I do. And so as Pastor Derek mentioned, what's it look like for this dream to become a reality? It looks like us choosing to go all in. Together. Looks like us praying. In this case, man, we need to spend time praying that God will open up a door for us to find land here in this community. Man, we've been praying, seeking God out, but we need land. But also it looks like you choosing to give and invest in this work. How cool is it, man, looking 20, 30 years down the road, man, say that you were able to be a part, man, of an awesome movement of God, right, by investing in this all-in work. Believe that God's going to use it. As I've said before, God's just getting started. Just getting started. But what's going to look like is us choosing to go all-in. And so, with that being said, we're getting ready to take up our offering. I want to pray for us. But at this time, why don't you join me in praying that God would provide a land for us to be able to build. But also seek the Lord as well and see what all-in looks like for you. We've got those all-in pledge cards in the back of the room. You can pick one up, and if you hadn't pledged to go all-in, you can take one home, and you and your family pray and consider what that looks like for you, and then choose to go all-in. But man, let's go all-in, and let's invest, man, in kingdom work. Invest in life change. Why don't we pray together? Lord, we love You. Thank You for, God, the opportunity to be a part of Your work. Lord, we thank You that, as Nehemiah said, Lord, in his book, Lord, this work here, God, at Tarletown is a great work. It's a great work. And we thank You for this reality that You're just getting started with this work. I pray, Lord, as we move forward with this campaign over the next few years, Lord, help us to see more than just dollars and cents, Lord, but help us to see life change. Lord, help us to see folks coming to know You over time. Help us to see our neighborhood kids that quote unquote, don't belong in church, right? Based on what the culture says or what church culture says, for them to come and receive you as part of getting connected here in the building and our facilities. I pray that we'd see folks from the neighborhood, folks from our workplace, come to know you. And I pray as we get ready to give now, Lord, we thank you for the privilege of being able to give. Lord, as your word says, it's more blessed to give than to receive. And so, Lord, I pray that we would you'd continue to cultivate a heart of gratitude of what we have, Lord, and choose to respond by giving back to you. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. All right, you may give to the Lord as he leads. Reminder too, we've got the tithe boxes in the back. You can give there or give online, LivingUpClarksville.org as well, /give. You can give there as well. Well, with that being said, if you've got a Bible, turn with me to the book of Daniel, chapter 3. Daniel chapter 3 this morning. If you got your Bible, go ahead and turn there. We're continuing our series in the book, our series entitled How to Be Brave. How to Be Brave. Man, we need folks who are brave and courageous for the Lord in these days, don't we? We do. We need folks who are brave and courageous that are willing to stand for Him in the midst of culture, right? Not being folks that are jerks about it, as we've talked about it and talked about in the last couple of weeks, but folks that resolve to say that, man, I'm all in for Him. All in for Him in every season of life. And so we ended last week and at the end of Daniel chapter 2. Right, we talked about Daniel receiving, right, the dream of Nebuchadnezzar, Lord, receiving what that dream meant from the Lord, right? We spoke how the Lord, right, Daniel 2 is the great revealer of mysteries, and man, he's able to reveal mysteries in our life as well, man, stuff that we need wisdom and direction, is able to reveal that. And at the end of that chapter, we see Nebuchadnezzar essentially give praise and glory to the Lord. But then in chapter 3, we see that, we see King Nebuchadnezzar's true colors. We see that he was one that was still pretty full of himself. In verses 1 through 7 of Daniel 3, we see that he built a statue 90 feet high and asked for everybody, right, when the music started playing, to bow down and worship him. You say, Pastor Irv, how was he able... there's a disconnect there. How was Nebuchadnezzar, how was he able to move from ascribing praise and honor to God to choosing to build a statue and have folks worship him and himself? Well, the answer is simply this. King Nebuchadnezzar, right, he talks about in Daniel chapter 2, we'll see it in Daniel 3 as well. He ascribes praise to the God of Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego. Right, he ascribes praise to their God, if you will. He's like, man, hey, man, there's no one like their God. Man, praise be to him. But Yahweh God wasn't his God. Oh, this is good. I'll go ahead and throw this in free of charge. Hey, listen. What King Nebuchadnezzar missed was entering into a personal relationship with God. Here's what happens. You can easily, man, sing songs to God. You could easily ascribe praise to him. But as long as, right, Yahweh God is the God of that other person in your life, right, then that worship is in vain. Worship is in vain. The call is to receive, man, Yahweh God is yours. Receive him as Lord and Savior of your life. To make your relationship with God personal. And King Nebuchadnezzar sadly hadn't done that yet. So he builds this monument. Has folks worship whenever the music starts playing in that whole area. But as we'll see here in a second, right, we see three Hebrew boys that say, you know what, we ain't going to do that. We ain't going to do that. First and foremost, that statue that you built, even though it's full of gold, is ugly. We ain't going to bow down to that. Ain't going to bow down to that. Hey, we serve and follow, man, a God that's way greater than that statue that you built. And so we're going to bow down and worship him. Yeah. So Daniel chapter 3. Starting in verse 8, if you're there, let me know that you're there by saying there. If not, the verses will be on the screen this morning. Daniel chapter 3, starting in verse 8. Look what it says. It says this: "Therefore, at that time, certain Chaldeans, certain Babylonians, came forward and maliciously accused the Jews. They declared to King Nebuchadnezzar, 'O king, live forever. You, O king, have made a decree that every man who hears the sound, right, of the music being played shall fall down and worship the golden image. And whoever does not fall down and worship shall be cast into the burning fiery furnace. There are certain Jews whom you've appointed over the affairs of the province here, Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego. These men, O king, pay no attention to you. They do not serve your gods, nor do they worship the golden image that you've set up.' Then King Nebuchadnezzar, in furious rage, commanded that Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego be brought. So they brought these men before the king. And Nebuchadnezzar answered and said to them, 'Is it true, fellas, that you do not serve my gods or worship the golden image that I've set up? Now listen, if you're ready, when you hear the sound of the music, just fall down and worship the image that I've made well and good. But if you do not worship, you shall immediately be cast into a fiery furnace. And who is the God who will deliver you out of my hands?'" A lot of scholars say King Nebuchadnezzar had an affinity for these three Hebrew boys. That's why he gave them a second chance. You know, hey, King Nebuchadnezzar's nature would have been just to throw those dudes in the fire as soon as they heard that they didn't bow down. But man, he liked these guys. And so he says, "Hey, look, man, let me give you another chance. Maybe you didn't hear me, man. Maybe there's a language barrier. You know, I like you guys. Hey, listen, here's what you're supposed to do. And if you don't, man, I'd hate to throw you in the fire." But we see their response here in verse 16. Look what he said. It says here, "Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego answered and said, 'O Nebuchadnezzar, we have no need to answer you in this matter. If this be so, our God, whom we serve, is able to deliver us from the burning fiery furnace. And he will deliver us out of your hand, O king. But if not, be it known to you, O king, that we will not serve your gods or worship the golden image that you've set up.' Then Nebuchadnezzar was full of fury, and the expression of his face was changed against these three boys. And he ordered the furnace heated 7 times more than it was usually heated. And he ordered some of the mighty men of his army to bind these three boys and cast them into the burning furnace. Then those men were bound in their cloaks and tunics and hats and all other garments, and they were thrown into the burning fiery furnace. And because the king's order was urgent and the furnace overheated, the flame of the fire killed those men who took up Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego." Interesting. "And those three men fell bound in the furnace. But then, verse 24, King Nebuchadnezzar was astonished and rose up in haste, and he declared to his counselors, 'Did we not cast three men bound into the fire?' They answered and said, 'Yeah, we did. True.' And he answered and said, 'But I see four men unbound, hello, walking in the midst of the fire, and they are not hurt. And the appearance of the fourth is like a son of the gods.'" Don't you find it interesting? The three mighty men that bound up the three Hebrew boys, man, hey, they worshiped, man, King Nebuchadnezzar and the false gods. As soon as they threw those three men into the furnace, man, they burnt up. They died right on spot. But we see, man, the three guys that followed, man, the God of the heavens, them, hey, leave unscathed. Oh, this is good news. This is good news. Hey, what the three boys testified to and understood is that, hey, the God of the universe, right, was stronger, was greater than any of the gods that were being worshipped in Babylon. So that's why they were able to stand. They said, you know what? Hey, we have faith that our God's going to be able to deliver us. And I bet them coming out, they didn't say this. This is just holy conjecture. I bet them coming out, they might have said, hey, man, those three mighty men that worshipped, man, they end up dying. Their God didn't save them. Hey, the God of the universe is to be trusted. He can be trusted. Which we'll talk about that more in a second. Verse 26. "Then Nebuchadnezzar came near to the door of the burning fiery furnace, and he declared, 'Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego, servants of the Most High God, come out and come here.' Then they came out. And all the leaders there gathered together and saw that the fire had not had any power over the bodies of those men. The hairs of their head, man, weren't singed. The cloaks weren't harmed. There was actually no smell of fire on them. Then Nebuchadnezzar answered and said, 'Blessed be the God of Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego, who has sent his angel and delivered his servants who trusted in him and set aside the king's command and yielded up their bodies rather than serve and worship any god except their own. Therefore, I will make a decree. Any people, nation, or language that speaks against this God shall be torn limb from limb, and their houses laid in ruins, for there's no other God who's able to rescue in this way. Then the king promised Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego in the province, and promoted Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego in the province of Babylon. Entitled this sermon simply this: hey, in the midst of the fire. In the midst of the fire. Why don't we pray together? Lord, we pray over these next few moments that you'd speak to us, God. God, I do pray that those in here who are walking in the midst of a fire today, God, be like these three Hebrew boys and choose to stand for you, Lord, knowing that you can be trusted, Lord. Hey, there's no other God in heaven or under heaven, Lord, that's able to walk with them through it, that's able to deliver them from it. And so, Lord, I pray that they would choose to trust in you today, Lord. I teach us through this passage what it looks like to be brave, like these three Hebrew boys were. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Amen. Real quick from this text this morning, we see three encouraging truths that we can apply to our life pertaining to and life in the midst of the fire. Three encouraging truths we see here in the text. Truth number one is this, man. In the midst of the fire, we see that the boys resolved to pledge their allegiance to the Lord. In the midst of the fire, these boys resolved to pledge their allegiance to the Lord. In the midst of this pagan worship service, these three Hebrew boys said, you know what? We're not bowing down. We're not bowing down. We're choosing to be all in for you, God. Here's what they decided. They said, you know what? Hey, this whole following God thing, this whole following Jesus thing is more than just some sprinkle on a cake, with the cake being our life. No. Following Jesus is the whole cake. We're all in on this thing. All in on this thing. And we're going to resolve, no matter what happens, to choose, man, to pledge our allegiance to the Lord. No matter what may take place. You could try and throw us in the furnace. That's all right. But no matter what happens, hey, we're going to choose and resolve, man, to worship the Lord. They pledged their allegiance to the Lord. And in the same way, we ought to have that same heart. Hey, in the midst of the fire in your life, the fire that you may be facing, may not be a literal fire like these three Hebrew boys are getting ready to face, but in the midst of the fire of circumstance in your life, the midst of the fire of, man, hey, being threatened to lose your job for standing for Christ, where you're at, hey, you can resolve to pledge allegiance to the Lord, man, because, hey, you have chosen to be all in for Him. And we see those three Hebrew boys do it. Hey, how were they? How did they resolve to pledge their allegiance to the Lord? First and foremost, they did it right in spite of temptation. In spite of temptation that they faced, King Nebuchadnezzar, right, brings about this second opportunity for them to be able to bow down and worship. And they said, no, we're not going to do it. We're not going to do it. That was rare. King Nebuchadnezzar said, hey, listen, you guys must have misheard me. Like I mentioned earlier, man, hey, just go ahead and bow down, man. It's all good. Just bow down and you won't have to face death either. But they resolved in the midst of temptation to say, you know what, we're not going to bow down. And here's the reason why. Listen close. Here's the reason why I believe that they chose not to. Because they tasted and saw that the Lord was good. Hey, they tasted and saw that the Lord of the universe is good. You say, Pastor Irv, where is that found? Hey, all you got to do is flip back a couple of pages. Daniel chapter 1. Whenever, hey, they were abducted. Right? Taken from their homeland, over 900 miles away from home. Forced to live in the temple, right? Far from their family and friends, man. Forced to be indoctrinated in the life of Babylon. And them saying, you know what, we're not going to eat the king's meat, man. We're just going to eat vegetables. And they saw how God provided and took care of them there. If that isn't enough, hey, you can just flip one page over to Daniel chapter 2, what we just talked about. Those three Hebrew boys, man, they were with Daniel whenever Daniel needed a word from the Lord. He needed to hear from God what the dream of King Nebuchadnezzar was, or else they were going to get killed. And they saw the Lord come through and provide that answer for them, provide wisdom for them. Listen, man, they tasted and saw that the Lord was good in their lives. They said, you know what, no matter what. Listen, selling God out, man, hey, we didn't do it now. We didn't do it then. We're not going to do it now. And so they were able to resolve, in spite of temptation, to choose to trust in Him, to choose to stand for Him. Though the culture and its allure are knocking at your door, trying to get you to cave in and bow down, right, to worship another god. Hey, for you, it might be the god of that bottle because of the fire that you're in, trying to numb what's going on in your life, the god of the bottle. Hey, or the god of work. Whatever god in your life, right, that culture's trying to get you to bow down and worship. Hey, man, resolve to keep your allegiance to the Lord, man, because you've tasted and seen that He's good. He's been good in the past. Hey, He will be good in the present, and hey, He's going to be good in the future. You've tasted and seen that He's good, so man, choose to resolve, man, to stand for Him. Choose to stand because He's worth it. Living for Him is worth it. Following Him is worth it, man. He's the only one at the end of the day that's worthy of worship. We see that these three Hebrew boys were able to pledge their allegiance to the Lord in spite of temptation. But then secondly, we see here they were able to pledge their allegiance to the Lord, hey, because of God's track record. Because of His track record. You may ask, man, how were they able to stand, right, boldly and confidently? So much so that, man, they kind of defy King Nebuchadnezzar. Whenever King Nebuchadnezzar gave them that second chance, they said, you know what, hey, King Nebi, you know, hey, listen, we ain't got an answer. We ain't got an answer. We already got an answer from the Lord. We got an answer from the Lord. We already know that, hey, what the word says, man, that thou shalt not have any other gods before me, man. There's only one that's worthy of all my worship. How were they able to stand, man, while facing the midst of the flames that they were getting ready to encounter? Well, because, man, they saw God's track record of His faithfulness. They were able to lean in on that. Whenever I think of track record, I talked about this before. You know, one of my favorite hobbies, you know, is playing basketball. I love playing basketball and, you know, just playing pickup around town here. You know, a lot of times when we play, the games are, you know, fairly close. And in that moment, you know what I'm saying, I'm glad to be able to get an exercise in, be able to get a run in. But here's the deal. I'm trying to win. You play to win the game at the end of the day. And so, man, we're out there playing. And at that moment, man, at the end of the game, listen, I'm trying to get the ball to the dude that gives us the best chance to win based on their track record. And so some of the other guys that, you know, that are on the team that I play with, you know, I love them to death. But they ain't going to get the ball late in the game. I'm going to give it to the dude that I know. You know, like, got a buddy of mine who played college ball. We oftentimes play together. I'm going to get the ball to him and get out the way. Because, man, I trust his track record, man. He's won us a lot of games over time, you know, of us just playing around. And I'm going to get him the ball. I'm going to, you know, hang out, you know, on the sideline. Maybe even ask if he needs some water while he's getting ready to shoot. You know, hey, let me bring you some water. I'm going to get out the way and trust him. Because of his track record, man. Playing college ball, and I know he's a great shooter. We've played a lot together. So I trust him late. Hey, in the same way, hey, I got good news for you. Hey, the God that we worship and follow, he doesn't just have a good track record. He's got an impeccable one. Hello? He's got an impeccable one. Hey, the track record of his faithfulness is impeccable. You can look, man, you can journey back into your life and see how God's hand's been at work in and through your life, man, and you can praise Him for that. And I believe the three Hebrew boys, they did the same thing. Obviously, they didn't have to look far. They saw His faithfulness during their time in Babylon. But they probably reflected back to their ancestors and the stories that they heard about God, man, providing when there was no way. And in the same way, hey, listen, we could choose to pledge our allegiance to the Lord, man, in the midst of the fire because, man, God's track record is impeccable. Here's the truth. Hey, from the Red Sea to Calvary's tree, man, God has provided, right? He has made a way when there was no way for us. And so because of that, man, we can trust Him. Trust Him. And we can choose to give our allegiance to Him, standing in the midst of the fire. Hey, friend, those circumstances around you may try and sway you to pledge your allegiance to the bottle, or to that problem. Pledge your allegiance to, man, you know, worshiping social media or whatever it is in your life, right? It's knocking at your door. Hey, choose to say no and pledge your allegiance to the Lord. Hey, the bottle, it may numb things a little bit, but it ain't going to walk with you through and through like the Lord will. Hey, worshiping that problem, it's not going to be able to deliver you from that problem like the Lord will. So choose to worship Him. That's what we see first and foremost. We see that the boys, man, they pledged their allegiance to the Lord. But secondly, we see in the midst of the fire, we see that the Lord's presence was with them. The Lord's presence was with them. Verses 17 through 27 talk about that there. The whole scene of them being thrown into the fire. Thrown into the fire, his mighty men were killed. And then King Nebuchadnezzar steps in. You can almost picture it now. He steps over, man, he rubs his eyes a little bit like, wait. Yo, didn't we throw three dudes in there? Huh? How are there four now? Where'd that fourth person come from? You can almost see it there. Many scholars that, you know, they argue and debate who that fourth person was. Was it, you know, the pre-incarnate Christ? Was it an angel from the Lord? We don't know and we won't really know till we, get to heaven one day. But here's the point. God's presence was with them. The Lord's presence was with them in the midst of the fire. And that's good news today for us in here who know Jesus. Hey, the Lord is with you in the midst of the fire. That's how you're able to be brave and stand for Him, because God's with you. It's neat, man. God didn't just leave these three boys on an island. Hey, He didn't just leave them on an island. He was there with them. He was there with them. And we see that picture there in the text. I love some of these verses here in Isaiah. Isaiah chapter 41, verse 10, right? I love it. Look what it says on the screen. Fear not, for I am with you. Be not dismayed, for I am your God. I will strengthen you. I will help you. I will uphold you with my righteous right hand. Then Isaiah 43, verses 2 and 3. Look what it says here. When you pass through the waters, I will be with you. And through the rivers, they shall not overwhelm you. For when you walk through fire, you shall not be burned, and the flame shall not consume you. For I am the Lord your God, the Holy One of Israel, your Savior. Hey, listen, like these three boys, man, we could have a confidence to be able to stand in the midst of the fire because the Lord is with us. He's with us, walking alongside us. And so we can hang truth to their man, Yahweh Shema, the Lord is there. He's there. He's with you, man. That ought to get you fired up. You can stand for Him. Hey, if He's calling you to be bold and share the gospel with that person, hey, He's with you. He's there. Walk with Him. Hey, if He's calling you, right, to stand and choose to worship Him in light of the deepest, darkest circumstance of your life that you find yourself in the midst of the deepest water or the deepest fire that you're in, hey, you can stand because He's there. He's with you. He's with you. So choose to stand. Choose to stand for Him. Then thirdly and lastly here, and then we're through, man, in the midst of the fire, not only did the boys pledge their allegiance to the Lord, not only do we see that the Lord was there with them in the midst of it, then thirdly and lastly we see here, man, the Lord's name was praised. In the midst of the fire, the Lord's name was praised. Look back at the text here. Again, picture yourself here in this region of Babylon. Thousands upon thousands of people. Babylon is the largest empire in the world at that point in time. The most pagan empire in the world. Worship multitude of gods. They were polytheistic. Man, had all these different gods. These different gods. Looked at, you know, the God of Israel was looked down upon. You know, Nebuchadnezzar teased him, said, hey, what God's going to be able to deliver you if I throw you in the furnace? All that's going on. And then look at what verse 28 says, after God delivers them from the furnace. Look what it says. Then Nebuchadnezzar answered and said, blessed be, praise be, Barak, praise be to God of Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego, who sent His angel and delivered His servants, who trusted in Him, and set aside the king's command and yielded up their bodies rather than serve and worship any god except their own God. Therefore, I make a decree, any person that speaks against the God of these three guys, right, the Lord Most High, shall be torn limb from limb and their houses laid in ruins, for there's no other God who's able to rescue in this way. In this setting, thousands upon thousands of people are hearing this wicked king give testimony of the Lord Most High, the God of the universe, right, because of the faith and the willingness of these three boys to stand. Isn't that neat? We see a picture of God's sovereignty, His hand at work all through this, right? That's a theme of this book. But man, but we see the Lord using the faith of these three Hebrew boys, man, to get His name praised and uplifted in the most pagan place in the world. It's amazing. God's name is being lifted up in this pagan place. It's being praised amongst these pagan people. Because of these boys, hey, saying, you know what, man, we're going to choose to be all in for Him. The Lord used the bravery of these three men to have His name lifted up. And listen, friends, I'm just going to be real with you. Keep it 100. He wants to use, man, the same bravery in your life. And to be a witness in that pagan land. You say, Pastor, what are you talking about here? What are you talking about here? Here's what I'm talking about. May the Lord, man, may the Lord's name be lifted up and be testified based on you willing to stand and be a witness in your pagan workplace. May a lost world testify to God's greatness and one day come to know Him by how you choose to live for Him at home, in your workplace. May your children in your home look to glorify, man, and give testimony of God's greatness and one day come to know Him by the way you choose to stand and live for Him. Now, may students in your class give testimony of God's greatness and one day come to know Him by how you choose to stand and live for Him in your life. Listen, God wants to use your willingness to stand, man, to lift up His name. Hey, God loves His name being lifted up. And so He wants to use, man, your bravery and your willingness to stand in order to do so, man. So won't we be those folks, man, that choose to stand for Him? Choose to stand for Him. I'll close with this. A couple weeks ago, I spoke about a conversation I was able to have with my friend I hadn't seen in a couple different years. You know, talked about taking it back to 2012, 2013 college days. Last week, spending time with some friends I hadn't seen in a while from college. And one of my friends, she serves overseas and is back for furlough for a little while. But she talked about her time there and how, in short, her and a couple of her teammates there in this undisclosed country were essentially kicked out of their country, for sharing the gospel. And so she goes into detail in sharing, you know, the story of that and how difficult it was. You know, they were interrogated for hours, didn't know what was going to happen, all this stuff. And I remember her saying, right, her last week there, in the midst of conversations that she had, coming to knowledge of a person that they had shared with, essentially coming to faith, Christ. And in that area, there's not much fruit that's birthed out of there. Not much fruit at all. But she had talked about how, man, because of the faithfulness of that team, man, and sharing all those years, I mean, they were getting kicked out. But hey, God's name was being lifted up and praised in a pagan place. And because of their faithfulness to stand, God used her and her team. And here's the truth today. He wants to use you and me in the same way. He does. He wants to use you and me in the same way. Listen, what if this Christian life is more than just an activity that we do on a Sunday? What if it is our whole life? What if it is us choosing to boldly stand and say, hey, God, man, we're all in for you. You're more than just a sprinkle on top of a cake, man. You're the whole cake. And so, man, hey, I'm going to choose to pledge my allegiance to you in every season of life, man. Even though I don't feel you, man, I know that you're there. I'm going to choose to trust you. Even if it may cost me something, hey, I'm going to choose to trust you, man. I'm all in for you. What if we chose to live a life like that? Well, I'm glad you asked, man. If we choose to do that, God's going to use it. I believe, man, we'll see folks that were in our sphere of influence give testimony to the greatness of God in the midst of a pagan place because of our faith. And so here's the deal, man. Hey, choose to stand for Him, man. Choose to stand for Him. Let's be like these three Hebrew boys in the midst of the fire. Let's choose to stand for Him. Choose to stand for Him. With heads bowed and eyes closed, I'm going to ask for Pastor Justin to come up this morning. And as we move into our time of response. Those of you may be new with us, the reason why we go this way, the reason why we move into a time of response, right? James 1 tells us this. There's always a call to respond. We're not called just to be hearers of God's word, but doers of it. There's always a call to respond. So this provides that opportunity to do so. Maybe you're in here this morning, and as I mentioned earlier in the prayer and just throughout the message, maybe you're going through a quote-unquote metaphorical fire. Whether that fire is you being in the toughest season of your life and you wanting to turn to that other God and give up your allegiance to Him, whether that fire is, you know, losing your job for choosing to step in and share the gospel with that co-worker, that friend, choosing to be bold, you're in the midst of the fire. And maybe you need to go to the Lord and ask for strength to continue to stand in the midst of it like the three Hebrew boys did. And trusting in God's track record and of His faithfulness in and through your life. Maybe you're in here and you just need to be reminded that the Lord is with you. It's been a while since you heard from Him. Been a while since you've sensed His presence. And you need to be reminded that He's there. God is, if we know Him, man, He's with us. Always, even though we don't feel Him. Even though there might be times where you may not hear Him, He's there. Maybe you need to draw close to Him. Maybe you're in here and God has put people in your life to step in and share the good news of Jesus with. Those that you've known for years, you've built relational equity with. And you know God's calling you, man, to share. So that, man, they can give testimony of His greatness one day and come to know Him as Lord and Savior. Maybe you're in here and you're like King Nebuchadnezzar. And you sing songs of praise to God, but He's not yours. He's not your God. You don't know Him. You don't have a relationship with Him. Hey, today can be the day you choose to turn from your sins and trust in Him. I don't know where you are today, but I'm going to pray for us. And listen, as I pray, you do business with God. You do business with Him. When I say amen, we're going to stand and sing and worship. And maybe you need some prayer. I'll be down front. Miss Megan, our children's minister, will be in the back. She'd love to pray with you. But listen, you respond as the Lord leads. Just be folks in the midst of the fire that choose to stand for Him. Why don't we pray? Lord, we love You. God, we do thank You for today. Lord, we thank You that You are with us in the midst of the fire. God, help us to have bold confidence. Help us to boast in You like the three Hebrew boys did. Because of Your track record, Lord. Help us be able to have enough faith to say, even if You don't, Lord, You're still good. We're still going to worship You. We're still going to be all in for You. We still trust in Your favor. We still trust in Your sovereign hand in our life. We got to pray for those in here who don't know You. We're like King Nebuchadnezzar up to this point, Lord. You've yet to respond by coming to us. I pray that, Lord, that they would taste and see that You're good, Lord. Let them come to know You as Savior, Lord. Lord, we love You. We thank You. And we ask these things all in Your gracious and heavenly name.